Great morning. Hello, everyone.
What up, though?
What up? Welcome to News of My Fiancé with Morgan Jones, DJ Ambush, right here on X-Ray FM, every Thursday morning at 7:30 in the a.m.
PST.
We're a lot more awake than we normally are today. You know?
Didn't get
much sleep.
Also agree.
Yeah. I wonder if it was that energy shot we got from Brie. Because you said it. You was like, how am I ever going to go to sleep now? I just took a little berry B+ spoonful. How am I going to get to sleep?
Yeah.
And maybe it allowed us to get to sleep, but then woke us right up with energy.
Yeah, I think that's a morning thing. should have took that in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not on our way to bed.
I was definitely restless since 4:30.
Oh, that's
tossing,
unfortunate.
Tossing, turning, in and out. Maybe 15 minutes of sleep here and there. It was not a successful endeavor.
I don't love that.
Getting back to sleep. Nah. But that just means afternoon nap. Which I can never really convince.
I was
going to
say, it's really funny that you say that. Because that's not what ends up happening. Not even a little bit. We will leave here. Like, I can't even keep them open. I'm yawning so much. I need a nap. And then get home and just, life starts happening. Stuff must get done. Like,
also, just collapsing from you know, exhaustion.
Also that.
You're leaving here tired. Shout out to all the X-Ray on-air personalities.
Ew.
That are in here working their boards every single week. You know, giving you guys content and stuff. This is, and this is a message to you other on-air personalities. Guys, I need you to treat this like a shift.
Mm.
It is actual work. I understand it's fun. I understand, like, you love to be here, all of that. You are engaging parts of your mind and body. And you've been doing this for so long that it seems like second nature. But it's still actual work.
Oh, yeah.
So you feeling spent after... It's a performance, man. You feeling spent afterwards, it makes sense. So give yourself some time. Give yourself some grace.
I know that you said you're talking to all the on-air personalities, but I feel like this is a direct shot at me. Like,
oh.
And shot's the wrong word, probably. But...
Oh. Well...
I don't think of it as a performance. And then you said that not that long ago and was like, oh, wow. That is a lot of energy you're using, huh?
Yeah, man. Well, we got birthday. We got good morning shouts off.
Ooh,
the top.
Okay.
Like, quick, fast. 7:32. Bam. AJ's like, good morning.
Good morning, AJ.
7:32. Bam. Matt's like, right off the bat.
Good morning, Matt.
I think we should take all the hate and vitriol we have in this country towards minorities, migrants, those seeking asylum, gay and trans people, leftists, etc., and focus all of that on the Island Boys instead. Problem solved. That's a wrap. Good morning.
Matt!
And Matt, I am in full agreement.
But what would we
do they up to now?
Without the Island Boys? What would we do?
Live a more sane and serene life.
Society.
Yeah.
What, I mean, I don't know.
That's it.
Will Chet Hanks join the Island Boys? Mm. Can we get a remix?
Oh, you guys hear what she's doing?
I feel like right now we should be talking about what Matt did, bringing this up. But like,
bring up the Island Boys.
You know, if you want to, if you want
to
get.
Matt offered a solution. You, on the other hand, are doing something else.
I can't see who this is, but they said, good morning, I'm here. So you have to tell me who that is.
That's one Roots. Oh, I think you're in trouble.
No, there's no trouble. You know, I just did have mixed feelings in that moment. I got excited. I also, then I got excited about something else. And then I was like, can I even say that? I don't know if you can.
Oh, April 1st,
you know,
things.
But like, we got an invitation. I am so excited. We definitely will not be there. at your little party. Just not going to do that. Not shindig. How we'll spend our time. Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah. We'll got to hit Costco.
Definitely. Be washing my hair that day.
Hey, Harper.
Hi, Harper.
Oh, man.
Just kidding. I love you, Rudo. Please don't ever leave me. How was your Black History Month, Rudo? Now that we're about halfway through Women's History Month.
We got to check in.
How was it for you back there in February?
Oh, man.
Lots happening. What we will talk about today, you know that we are consistently on our wage theft watch.
This is true.
Much like Tiffany Henyard watch and Mayor Eric Adams watch.
You're daggone right.
Eyes on the prize at all times. And, you know, we're just wondering who should, in fact, be correctly paying subcontractors.
Who should be responsible for that?
And when it all goes wrong, should it just end with the one guy that did some hiring that was a middle guy for the big money? We're also going to talk about the Oregon gun control measure 114 being ruled constitutional.
And there are a lot of people that are miffed. And they're like, we are going to appeal and appeal and appeal.
I think they think because the word gun is in the measure, that means that Joanne Hardesty.
Yeah.
Is coming to take their guns. She'll be going door to door.
Yes.
Throughout the entire state to collecting. Come take the guns.
Yes. Extended clips, taking them.
Yep.
Her and Kamala. Oh, no. Kamala.
Kamala. You got to get the Kamala. Mispronunciation right.
Right. In the national news, Israel completely cuts off power to Gaza, you know, and the latest in the long list of war crimes. But it is indeed a ceasefire. I don't know if anyone remembers that. We are ceasing fire right now. So, you know.
We cease fire. Uh-huh. We cease power. Yeah. We cease water.
But we don't
control any of the lives of those Palestinian people. Not at all. And if only they could just bootstraps.
Not at all. And I see actual fraud, waste, and abuse. Is this about Elon?
You know, it could be, but it's actually about Brett Favre. No. No, it is, though, about the Mississippi fraud that was happening with taxpayer dollars. You know, like when you're taking money that are for welfare programs, for TANF, and you build a volleyball stadium.
Bruh.
Instead. And also pay Brett Favre almost $2 million to, you know, go talk to some people about, I don't know, staying healthy or getting off food stamps. Yeah. I don't know what he was talking about, but he was taking food stamp money.
So. Out there farming, you know.
We have talked about that story before, but just a little bit of an update. So make sure you're here the whole time.
Yeah, man.
But first up.
Boy.
Thanks for nothing, Ambush.
What?
Comes down and tells me this morning.
Oh, yeah.
One Shannon Sharp on the old
Club Shay Shay.
Club Shay Shay podcast has hosted Andrew Schulz.
That's the next episode about the drop, guys.
He just dropped the Amber Rose interview, so I guess we are just going full alt-white. I don't know. I don't know what's happening here. Well, I do. Shannon Sharp is here to do content.
And what struck me, one of the lines in here that really just, you know, hit me was like, it says, if you do set those reminders at Andrew Schulz is pulling up to Club Shay Shay and nobody is safe.
Cool.
And nobody is safe. You're saying this about a man.
Cool.
Who, long list of things we've already discussed.
Yes.
So there's a lot of people that he, Andrew Schulz, would prefer to feel unsafe. And you're saying, hey, man, I'm with it. Let's platform it. As a black man who was constantly being checked by the black women that he disrespects or says something out of line about and is constantly apologizing to black women. But you know, let's just bring on Andrew Schultz onto the club, Shay Shay.
Well, what's I find interesting is that Andrew Schultz, in response to no one talking to him, decided to threaten sexual assault against a person not talking to him.
Yep.
And then found that so funny that he was like, I will, in fact, make this my personality.
Yep.
So it's no big deal that I said that. You guys are bugging. Somebody said they would kill my friends, which never actually happened.
No.
Because he continues to get big looks like having a Netflix special and, you know, selling out tours. He gets to go on another press run about an unrelated thing and gets to rehab his already ridiculous image with black men and gets black men to whitewash what he just did.
Yep.
And that's wild. Like, Shannon is who Kendrick was talking to. You know what I mean? He wasn't in the moment, but Shannon is the kind of black man that he is talking to. Because you will allow a white comedian to talk about black women in any way, because nobody's safe. Anybody can get these jokes. Andrew Schultz is a child left behind. Like, you can't really be serious in this day and age with that mustache thinking you're funny when all you do is bigotry. Like, at some point, the fan base got to be like, this is actually not funny.
Boring.
Super boring.
Yeah.
Like, that, we've done this a million times. We don't need to spend too much time on it. That kind of comedy is not comedy. And, like, if you have to consistently explain your jokes, which is a clip I heard him on the Breakfast Club. He's like, oh, man, I hate explaining jokes. I bet you do.
Yeah. It's probably stop doing comedy.
I bet you do hate explaining jokes. But when your jokes are literally just bigotry and it's not. I mean, he's not even the kind of comedian that's like, I just like to point out the differences between different groups of people. Like, you know, there's a way to do that without being racist or misogynist or, you know, ableist. Like, there's ways to do the homophobic. Like, there's ways to do it all without being those things. But if you get into comedy because you were able to make that your defense mechanism and that's how you were able to make a couple of friends and do a couple of things.
And survive high school.
Like, I get it. But, like, I have never seen Andrew Schultz as funny. So I don't personally understand the humor. I don't get it. I've watched it. I've seen it. I don't get it. Super lowbrow. And I understand. Let me be clear. There's a lot of lowbrow stuff I love. I'm not saying like I'm too.
Are you talking about Workaholics?
God, I love Workaholics.
It's so good. Such a great one. Every once in a while, throw an episode on and really remind yourself of where you used to be during those times.
Oh, boy. This show is hilarious, man.
The light in your face right now. It's like you're going through scenes.
I am.
It's beautiful.
I don't know if that makes for good radio, but it's definitely true. I'm just going to say this. Good morning, Michelle. Uh-oh. Ambush looked to see if she had said something. She has not, in fact, said anything. Good morning, Brooke. Good morning, Crystal.
Yeah, yeah.
Crystal, I just want to know that you're okay, girl.
Good morning, P-Town.
P-Town, how we doing? I also want to mention that I don't even benchmark. Friends of the show, friends of personally.
Yeah, close personal homeboys.
Close personal homeboys. Benchmark is a retail establishment that is the kind of very, I mean, very Portland. And by that, I mean, this is art. This is streetwear.
Yeah.
This is
music.
Boutique level boutique, things. Yeah. This is music. This is, and everything is really about centering local black and brown people of color artists.
Yeah.
And local brands. And they have done an incredible thing with that store.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they have been broken into now twice in 2025.
Yeah.
And first of all, shout out to them. Solidarity with y'all. I'm so sorry that this is continuing to happen. And there are not enough protections for small business owners, for as much as we talk about that is the backbone of America and this, and that. Like, it really, if you are a small and sometimes a medium sized business, you are left to your own, on your own. And what they are asking for and how we can support them is by continuing to support local artists and brands.
Right.
While they get their doors fixed and figure out what's going on in that location. And that was such a community moment for me to see that be the call out. Not like you guys get down here and help. Like, it literally, like, we exist to highlight creatives.
Right.
And so keep supporting those creatives. That's how you can support us. And I just absolutely loved that call to action.
Yeah. Yeah. Guess who popped up?
Shout out to Benchmark.
Shelly Shell said, good morning.
Michelle.
I couldn't decide what to say when all the cool kids were texting in.
Okay, that's how relatable content. Very relatable content.
Oh, man.
Just like, well, they'll know I'm here. I'm not going to say it.
They know.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Another one of my homies. That's like the second retail homie of mine that's going through break-ins, experiencing the break-ins. My boy Wyatt over at Pallet, same thing. You know? It's just...
This is not... It is not Gotham. It is not, you know, lawless. What are we going to do? People do not have resources. It is getting worse. It is going to continue to get worse because I'm Trump. I'm a Musk.
You said we did because of Musk?
Both of them. I mean, it's all of it. We have a cabinet filled with billionaires and people that want, and aspiring billionaires, you know, people that want so badly. They still haven't figured out the difference, how vast the difference is between, you know, 100 million and 1 billion. Like, they
they don't get it.
Just don't even understand it.
Two different planets.
To that point, I think it does not hurt to continuously say that when somebody says eat the rich or says there should not be billionaires, they are not talking to you who make 50,000, 100,000, 500,000. 2 million a year. We're not talking to you.
It ain't you.
If you have to continue to work to live the life that you have, you are in fact working class. It doesn't matter if your working class has a Mercedes or a 3-car garage.
You got a string of successful auto body shops. You're still working, man.
Still working.
And you're employing a lot of people. Hopefully, you know, they got good benefits, things like that.
Hopefully you're paying them correctly.
Right.
We're not talking about you. We're talking about the people that are hoarding wealth. Because in order for anyone to have that much money, they have to exploit and they have to hoard. They have to take other people cannot have in order for that person to have. So we're not talking about the, like you said, string of successful auto body shops or car dealerships or, you know, like.
Yeah, we're not talking about the people that the billionaires are trying to convince you they still are. They get it from the mud. You know, I just got, you know.
I just hustled my way into this.
I was in the right places at the right time.
Hustle mindset, baby.
You know.
No days off.
Pulled myself up.
Yeah.
This is where I am today. Self-made.
It's not about people that are actually working. It's about, are you making tens of millions of dollars passively because of the amount of money that just sits somewhere for you?
But bruh.
Oh, do you have multiple of those accounts that just sit there for you? Are they offshore? We're talking to the people that are hiding their money from the government and then telling us that the poor people need to stop eating avocado toast.
Well,
although your 500,000aires might also say that.
The poor people definitely need to stop eating avocado toast. But also another issue are the DEI breaks that government agencies are getting on their tax at the end of the tax season.
For hiring all those DEIs.
For hiring all of those blacks. That
beautiful
too.
Segue into
education.
Did any of y'all happen to see? Because I know that we live in bubbles. Right. So this is all over my YouTube feed and all over my threads and Instagram, but it may not be hitting yours. One Sam Cedar of the Majority Report went on Jubilee surrounded. I don't know why I can't keep that in my head. Surrounded is one person surrounded with a particular stance,
right?
Ideology, maybe, whatever. Surrounded by 20 people that disagree. And those people race to debate you. And those people can vote out the people that have made it to debate.
Right.
Wowie wee wow. I am a person who's like, internet debate is not actually doing what we think it is. Right? Man. People are not actually taking the information. And I'm saying this generally.
Yeah.
Not all people. But they don't generally, like, they're not going and then investigating these things. They're confirming their bias. And if somebody is up there speaking fast, saying things that they want to hear real quick, they'll sit there with it.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe that person said it wrong if they got owned, you know, but that doesn't change the ideology. They're not listening to what the other person has to say. To rebut any
sure, 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 sure.
So
sure.
Many shores.
Sure.
So many yes. Sure, so yeah, many rights. Sure. Yeah, yeah, right. Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was infuriating. It was like irritating is probably a better word. I don't know that I was actually infuriated.
You were mind-bottled.
My mind was in a bottle for sure.
Yeah.
Just put that bottle right in the mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, did that wrong.
Put that mind right in the bottle.
There you go.
Boom.
Is this Michelle? Michelle said, yes. It's so infuriating that even small businesses aren't a priority for people in power. Hello? I guess they're fine in cities just because... Wait, I'm sorry. I guess they're fine if cities just become 10 militarized Walmarts with barbed wire fences to keep the homeless out.
Man.
I mean, you're actually just spitting Project 2026. Or Project 2025 2.0.
Right.
That's it. I mean, isn't that what they want? 10 militarized cities, you know, 10 militarized Walmarts as cities? I think that's...
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone works at Amazon.
And Walmart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrifying. And I'll say, before we hit the music break, one of the things that really ticked me off yesterday was seeing the Republican representative who repeatedly misgendered Sarah McBride.
Yeah.
During a subcommittee, which is, I know that cruelty is the point. We get it. You know, like I don't mean to be dismissive to that phrase. It really is the point.
Yeah.
Humiliation, embarrassment is really the point. She's at work.
On her job.
An elected official at work, your colleague, And you and these are the things that DEI has never, like, inclusion has never been about discriminating. And the way that opponents of inclusion speak about it is as if they are being erased to allow someone else to exist. And you got to remember that if that's your mind, if that's a person's mindset, it is across the board. It's not just in that one thing. It's also going to be in bathrooms and, you know, money, access to power. They're going to have that mindset across the board. You shouldn't even be here. Why are you here?
Right.
So I'm not going to respect you. No, I don't have to do that. And all DEI, although I have many issues with performative programs, in essence, it should be protecting you from a hostile work environment. Because we have this silly idea, silly notion that if you, in fact, know more about other people, you will be scared.
Right.
You won't be so frightened. And there's really something to examine if you are consistently scared of other people that you haven't met. People you haven't met, people who have not done one thing to you. And very specifically, when we're talking about the trans community, which I don't love talking about how small the community is, because it really doesn't matter.
Right.
It should, like, and what I mean by that is these are people. These are people.
No matter the size.
No matter the size of the group, these are people. But when we talk about the actual size of that group of people and it being so small, when you are the powerful, when you are the ones, the elite, the ones with all of the things who don't have to traffic in any of this for your life to continue, and you find time to punch down on people who are literally just trying to make it, What does that say about those people and their mindset?
It doesn't say enough, unfortunately. It doesn't say enough for those people to receive the type of pushback that Congressman Self received. Yeah. Like, that was this clip is going around because the response he got in that moment is an anomaly.
Exactly. And you know the response, like, that he got is exactly what's supposed to happen every single time. Right. Somebody is disrespectful to Jasmine Crockett, is disrespectful to Ayanna Pressley.
Yep.
It's supposed to happen every single time. Yeah,
it should be commonplace.
It should be commonplace. It should be
a viral moment. Oh, they were out of line. They got checked. Okay. On to the next.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
You get out of line, you get checked.
That's it. Word to Chris Rock. Oh my God.
Give me a music break and we'll talk about, I don't know, Mississippi.
Cool.
Something.
All right. We'll be right back with La Musica after La Musica. Local stories. I'm going to jump right into it.
Wage Theft Watch.
Boom.
Working on a intro. Wage theft.
You gotta have the echoes going.
Yeah.
I say record it, send it to Kyle. Kyle puts all the magic on it.
Does the effects.
Yeah.
I'm gonna think about it.
All right. A big move in Oregon's legislature to crack down on wage theft in the construction industry. Lawmakers are pushing Senate Bill 426, which would hold both property owners and general contractors responsible for making sure workers actually get paid. Wage theft, aka not paying workers what they're owed, is a huge issue in construction. Right now, if a worker gets stiffed, they have to rely on Oregon's Bureau of Labor and Industries, or BOLI, to go after their employer. But BOLI is understaffed and struggling to enforce the rules.
Mm.
So this bill would let workers or the state go after the big players who actually benefit from the work, not just the shady subcontractors at the bottom of the chain. Senator Floyd Prozanski, a Democrat from Eugene, is leading the charge on this, and he's got strong backing from labor unions, including Carpenters Locals 541 and 503, and AFL-CIO, and other social justice groups. They're saying this bill would stop the cycle of contractors hiding behind layers of subcontractors to dodge responsibility. Wow.
Middlemen.
But of course, there's opposition. The Associated General Contractors, the Oregon Home Builders Association, and Multifamily Northwest, which represents apartment owners, are all pushing back. They argue this unfairly puts liability on property owners and developers, even when they have no control over subcontractor payroll practices. Plus, they say it could scare off housing investments. Instead, they want lawmakers to increase Boley's budget so the state can do a better job enforcing the existing laws against sketchy labor brokers and deadbeat contractors. But supporters of the bill say that's just a band-aid on a broken system. SB 426 got a public hearing last month and is up for a work session today in the Senate Judiciary Committee. We'll be keeping an eye on how this plays out because at the end of the day, folks deserve to get paid for the work they do.
Period.
The developers, property owners, they're all like, hey, man, you are pulling us into a situation that we don't have control over. When in actuality, you have control over who you hire.
Hello.
Okay. You have control over the labor brokers which you hire for these projects. And if these labor brokers are stealing from their contractors, you should not hire them, no matter how much you save by hiring them.
Full agree. And want to add that there are many contractors who will, in order to skim a little money, they pay people less, or maybe they don't inspect certain things right. as much, or maybe, you know, like, I don't even know how I got into following this person, but I'm following a home inspector on Threads that he's in Texas, but he explains like all sorts of, this is a brand new construction,
right?
And somebody is convincing people to not get an inspection because it's a brand new construction. You don't even need to worry about it. He's like, this is a $600,000 house. Let me show you all the things that are going to go wrong with this, you know?
Damn.
There is this idea that a lot of people have that if you are doing a job that you care about it and you want to do it well and you're going to do it to the best of your abilities. And we don't have any reason to actually believe that in you know, experience and practice. Yeah. It certainly is what we are taught, and many people, I think, believe that of themselves.
Yeah.
But when you are able to recognize shoddy work, no matter what the work is, right? Like, you can start to understand, okay, maybe this was not just a bad day for you. Maybe you just don't do roofs well. Right. Or maybe you just, you know what I mean?
Roofs like, aren't your thing.
Or maybe making sure that the windows are all the way sealed is not, maybe details ain't on your resume, but you need to be in a different field if right. what you're doing is, right. you know, building homes that are just now going to be mold factories.
Yeah. Windows not level within 3 years because the house is settling wrong.
Right.
The foundation wasn't right. Like, come on, it's important, right? Like, come on, man.
It cannot get to the point when you are in positions of power, especially when you are the person responsible for paying other people. Having the, oh, I'm just going to cut a couple corners here, there, and everywhere, or this is a big job, and these guys should be getting paid X amount. I'm going to see if they'll do it for $2,500 instead of $5, you know? Like,
right.
When you are paying less, you are not going to get the work that you are expecting. If you are getting your nephew, who is not actually a contractor or does not.
Yeah, got them just following people around on the site, helping out.
Right.
Keep yourself busy.
Or he's in charge of doing the drywall. It, you know what I mean? But then everything's messed up. Like, this is... This text says, this literally just happened to my sister. New construction had so many issues on the initial frame inspection that they had to back out entirely and hope the reef inch clears. Lord.
That was Michelle. Yeah. Nasty business. So you said something earlier about, you know, people having this, you know, this belief that, you know, you want your work to speak for yourself and you're going to show up and you're just going to, you know, give the best representation of what you're going to get accomplished. It's like, it would be cool if there were even work environments that fostered that feeling, right? Because
I'm sure, probably in your young youth,
you had real jobs before a lot of us really did. So,
But you didn't have,
me and Ken have already talked about this. You didn't have these little play jobs of working, you know, the candy store at the mall. Like, you had a real job. You know, you work with organizations, you know? There is a sense of pride when you first enter the workforce where you're like, I want to show up. I want to be the best.
Yeah.
I want to do this. Like, I want people to really judge me on my ability to do this right.
Because merit?
I'm good at this.
What?
And I'm willing to learn and become better.
Yeah.
But then you find out very quickly, being a company person, company man or woman, ain't it.
You know?
The environments that you're thrown in, like, I remember saying this to myself, like, reminding myself of this when I was, like, late 30s. Like, it's rarely the job that you fought for, interview for. It's rarely that you hate once you're in it. It's not the work. It's usually your supervisors, the environment, the non-adherence to the rules, the coworkers that taint the vision, that taint this experience, this thing that you were striving to get.
Yeah.
And now it's like, and I'm here, and it's like, you're looking around like, oh my gosh. Oh, this is not it. This is not what they sold me. This is a different bill of goods here. And can I leave and still get paid?
No, you can't.
Can I regular get paid for my work?
Sometimes no.
Are you thefting my wages?
Probably. Depending on where you work, probably. Wage theft is the biggest form of theft in this country. $50 billion is stolen from workers every year. That's an estimate. I'm going to say it's probably conservative.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's paying the right thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not nobody.
Yeah,
but, you know, sure. Like,
Ben & Jerry's.
$50 billion?
Well, Morgan, billionaires create jobs.
And then steal your money. Like, at what point do we go, okay, actually, this thing isn't the same.
Yeah.
Like, to the point of wanting to do a good job. Fiancés. Is that how you were, like, raised? Was someone saying to you, you need to show up as your best self all the time? Like, because I do also wonder if part of what our experience is, and especially in the workforce, and I mean, even in school, where, you know, the conversation that my dad was having with me was, you are going to have to do things. Some of them you're going to have to work twice as hard. Some of them it might be three times as hard.
Right.
You really want that thing? You might have to work the hardest out of anybody else, and you still may not get it.
Yeah.
But you always try your hardest and you always show up and be your best.
Don't show up lackluster.
You don't ever show effort. Up. Right. So on my, you know, I have taken that and interpreted it many different ways throughout the years. and learned many more things so that I don't, you know, just burn myself all the way completely out. But is that not, were y'all getting that same kind of conversation? Were you also confused when you got into the workforce? Like, wait, so there's a lot of people who have been here for years that do not care about this job. They don't, they see no mission in what they're doing. Or, and you don't have to have a mission. Not every person has a thing that they want to do really badly or has a calling that they feel this is what I should be doing with my life or in the world, you know? So no shade if that's you. But the amount of people that I worked with, have worked with throughout my entire working life, the amount of people that are like, this is just a job. I just show up. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Oh.
The first time I heard that on a job from a coworker, I was like,
I wouldn't
hear you, bro. You're going to get fired.
Why'd you apply? That. Like, I
want to be here.
I would always wonder, like, why'd you apply to do this job? Why are you here if you hate people? Because if you hate people and you have to talk to them all day, that's going to be rough. But don't get me wrong. I jokingly say I hate people all the time. But like, I'm definitely not treating anybody like I hate them in customer interactions, right. You know, client interactions. I'm not. Anyway, this is not going where I meant it to go. the short is we are being stolen from and squeezed in every way that can possibly happen.
Yeah.
And the solidarity needs to be with each other, needs to be within. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. Like, class solidarity is it, because they have it. They are unified. They are united. They are moving as a unit. One breathing code. Is one.
Yeah. Yeah. Hive mind.
All to be able to make it so that they own all of the things that we must have, you know? And I know that that sounds dystopian and wild, and people are like, that's a sci-fi movie, Morgan. No, yeah, true. There's a reason there are so many.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that it hits. A movie like Idiocracy from however many years ago that is... I believe we started really living that dream in 2015 as we started going into this current hellscape.
Yep. And now we're at Elysium, which I was able to throw on for you the other day for us to work to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Seeing people trying to illegally migrate.
For healthcare.
To a different planet. Being immediately stopped by the drones and the so and so's and the man, look.
Rudo gave us some lyrics for a jingle for the Wage Watch.
Yes. Will you voice it?
I won't.
No, I'm talking to Rudo.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I did make that confusing. I was saying, I love this. Rudo, will you voice it? Will you send us a voice? Oh, update. Uh-oh. On our hotline bling.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming together, you guys.
Yes.
Our hotline call-in number coming together.
Yes.
That is for the Monday show.
Yep.
But that does not mean that you have to wait. You know, you'll be able to call, leave a voicemail.
Yeah. We'll post the number later this week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? On the socials.
Keep an eye on the Instagram.
Oh, my fiance hotline. Yeah.
On any of the social.
But yeah.
Yeah.
All the socials. I want to talk about this Measure 114. You want to?
Yeah, I'll jump in.
Or jump in? Okay.
I say let's go for it.
All right.
Fiancés, we've got an update on the ongoing battle over gun laws in Oregon. And I know you have been just waiting with bated breath.
I'm a gun-toting beluga.
Where is C's in the chat when you need them? Oh boy. The state's Court of Appeals has ruled that ballot measure 114, the voter-approved initiative that tightens firearm regulations, is constitutional. Now, if you don't remember, measure 14 was narrowly passed by voters back in 2022. It bans magazines that hold more than 10 rounds of ammunition and requires anyone buying a gun to first get a permit, which I know sounds like taking all your guns away, but it also just means getting a permit.
That's it.
It means you have to pass a background check and taking a gun safety course, which honestly, like, least you could do.
Yeah.
But legal battles have kept it tied up in court for the past few years. This latest ruling overturns an earlier decision from a judge in Eastern Oregon, Shaw, who claimed the law violated the state constitution. The three-judge panel disagreed, saying the ruling used the wrong legal standard. But don't expect these rules to take effect overnight. Opponents still have 35 days to appeal the Oregon Supreme Court, and trust me, they plan to.
Yeah.
The lead attorney challenging the law said this ruling turns, quote, millions of Oregonians into criminals, and promised to keep fighting in court. Meanwhile, supporters of Measure 114 say this decision is a win for gun safety and democracy, since Oregon voters already said yes to these reforms.
Hello.
Now the political battle isn't just in courts. The Oregon legislature is set to hold a joint hearing on gun safety today, where lawmakers will discuss issues like preventing suicides and mass shootings. Some Democrats have already introduced bills to raise the age limit for certain guns, ban bump stocks, and allow more public buildings to prohibit firearms.
Hello.
But Oregon Senate Republicans are not happy about that ruling. In a statement, they called Measure 114, quote, an attack on constitutional rights. I feel like we're all saying the wrong thing. Arguing that requiring a permit to buy a gun is government overreach. I just want to sit there real quick.
It's government overreach.
Overreach.
Man.
For a permit,
yeah,
to buy a weapon.
Yeah. Is it government overreach to have a permit to drive a car?
Probably.
Or fish?
Honestly, if you're asking me, brother, overreach.
Gotcha.
Small it up. Gotcha. This government needs to be rid of all the waste, fraud, and abuse that's happening with these permits.
You know what? I will not tread on you.
Finally. Thank you. Back to the story. They also pointed out that rural communities and law enforcement are overwhelmingly opposed when the measure was on the ballot. Let's be real. This fight isn't stopping here. A separate federal lawsuit over Measure 114 is still sitting at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, waiting on a decision about a similar law in California. If that case goes up to the U.S. Supreme Court, we could see another nationwide battle over gun control. Y'all.
I seen the lead attorney in opposition to this measure. I saw the news footage where he was like, you know, this puts millions of Oregonians at risk. They become criminals. And then,
that guy was the attorney. He wasn't just a man that owns a bunch of guns.
Right. And then they cut to a clip of someone responding like, if you already have magazines in your house that are 10 and above, you are not in trouble.
No one's coming to take it from you. Like, you just can't.
But like, it's interesting. Like, you're the legal counsel. You're just lying. Like, you're flat out lying. You want to inject fear into the populace. Would you say you're lawyering? You want to inject fear into the populace. You know, it's like, dude, there's nothing to fight over here. The thing that you're saying is happening. Your reasons for fighting don't exist. They don't exist. So who's paying you? Whose pockets are you milking right now? Because it's all utter foolishness, bro.
Well, we know for certain, you know, the NRA isn't the NRA the way it is or the way it has been. But we know that money is still about.
Oh, yeah.
And we know a lot of people really love having guns in America and love to be able to sell them.
Yeah.
To Americans. It is absolutely asinine to me to think that opposing safety measures, opposing permitting you should know how to use these weapons. You should know how to keep you and other people safe.
Isn't that the point?
I thought it was. I mean, because here I am thinking, silly me. I know there's a lot. I read instructions from things I don't know that I'm putting together all the time. I know that I'm the minority. A lot of people are not reading the instructions. They just start putting stuff together, or they think this YouTube video short that is literally 37 seconds can actually show me how to do all that I need to do. And, oh, weird. They forgot like half of the steps because it didn't fit.
Yeah. In 30 seconds.
And you shot yourself in the foot or the face. Like, I don't want to be that person cleaning a gun and then all of a sudden I'm, right?
Or that person, you know, with a gun in their pocket on a podcast. You know, popping themselves. Hey. You don't want to be that person. You don't want to be that one.
So how'd it happen? I was a guest on a podcast, shot myself. You know?
Reaching into my pocket for some chaps. Reaching into my gun pocket for some chapstick.
Into my gun pocket.
You know, some chapstick and boop, pop myself in the knee.
I mean, does it really scare people to have to get a permit? Or is this just the propaganda has worked so well that you believe I should be able to have whatever I want without anybody having anything to say?
Yeah. No permit, no background check. What's in your background that you need to hide?
You don't want people to get background checks, but then as soon as, you know, a violent act happens with someone who may not have been born here, then it's, you know, terrorism or something.
What's their background?
We are such an unserious place that we have absolutely no smoke for these school shooters.
Yeah.
We're not calling them domestic terrorists. We are not saying what it is. We are not even calling out that white supremacy is 99% of the time the reason these people are doing this.
Self-admitted.
Told.
Yeah.
Manifesto.
Yeah.
They give you the full breakdown. Welcome back to my channel. This is how I got radicalized. These are the things I believe now.
Don't like people of color.
Like.
Subscribe.
N-word on the gun barrel. And here's the everybody from the police on scene to the reporters or the anchors back at the studio. Mm-hmm. Well, we just can't figure out what the motivation would have been.
I'm sure you can. Cool.
You also, many of those people, the FBI will be like, yeah, totes on our radar.
Got a call about him last month.
I do not think that gun
ownership.
Any sort of regulation or, you know, I don't think that that then means that people will 100% legally own weapons and people would never shoot someone out of cold blood or, well, you know what I mean? Like that they would not harm people.
It's
like
not the end all be all.
It is not the thing. There's nothing is going to stop that from happening without taking all of those same weapons away. And no one's doing that.
Right.
So having that energy and pretending like that's what's happening to you, I do understand that, you know, why these people feel attacked all the time. They're under consistent attack by themselves.
I mean, honestly, having that energy and pretending something that isn't happening to you is happening to you is more of a reason to have a background check.
Yes. Yes.
You're showing me all the reasons why we do need to look into your background. Because you're actively pretending that something is a threat, which it actually isn't, which leads to gun violence.
Fiancés, is it important for somebody who has a domestic violence background to be able to just to be stopped from getting legally owning a weapon? To me, that's incredibly important.
Yeah.
To me, that's incredibly important.
And a background check doesn't automatically mean, oh, now that we're being subjected to background checks, I can't get a gun. No. So this isn't a blanket thing.
Right.
What is coming up in the background check?
Hello.
Like,
it isn't that you worked at Chase Bank.
No.
You know, that's not going to mean that you can't do the thing. But if you maybe have some prior violence on your record, maybe you don't get to have a high capacity magazine.
Maybe. If you already had some interactions with the police, maybe you shouldn't be, you know, violent interaction with the police. Maybe you shouldn't be allowed to have, you know, magazines that could, you know, outcapacity them
right.
with your next standoff.
Oh my gosh.
It's also all of the, you know, Meal Team 6 dudes that are not in any way, you are not revolutionary. You are not doing revolutionary things.
No.
Y'all didn't even storm the Capitol. We just got a text that says, because if they can't have guns with a domestic violence record, they would have a cop shortage.
Oh.
Correct.
Holy smokes. Ding, 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 ding.
Thank you, Kay.
Thank you,
Kay. And you're right.
Ooh.
Big time. Big time.
Big time. Big time.
I mean, I honestly believe that most of the people that oppose gun safety is exactly that.
Yeah.
I think they are law enforcement officers or family of. And we know what those abuses of power look like on a small level, yeah. on a large level. We know how that power just like flows like electricity between them mm. when they are a group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another text says, my father taught me by example what it means to be a man and take care of your family. There were no guns in our house.
Thank you, Bob.
Shout out to Bob.
I was trying to remember his name earlier. Bob, Malcolm, John. What up, y'all?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Good morning. Good morning. All right. I will take a music break if you are so inclined.
I am inclined.
And then we'll get into some nationals.
Yay, yay. And we are back. Oh, man. Okay. I don't normally share stuff like this, but I got to. This is hilarious. In my family group thread, my youngest brother sent this story from MSNBC. A 4-year-old Wisconsin boy calls 911 after his mom ate his ice cream. Fam. This youngster, 4-year-old, already knows what 911 is for. And like, look, I have been victimized. Crime has happened against me. And I need outside assistance on this. I can't count anyone in this house. My mom, my mother.
Yeah.
Took what belongs to me.
Troublemaker.
My ice cream. I need you guys to get in here and make it right.
I want the call. The call.
Yeah, I want that audio.
I want the recording. Real quick, we got two texts. I think this is Matt. Said, MAGA stormed the Capitol just fine without extendos. Just saying.
That is Matt.
And true. They did.
They did.
They did.
Just fine.
Just fine.
They did not hamper their ability.
Ambush Michelle said, how old are you trying to make me feel with this song?
Shell, it's a classic. I love it. It's one of my faves. And then the Lupe flip of it. Oy,
Oh, he's dying now.
Oh, so good.
Euphoria is happening.
Oh, if I could have a clean version of that Lupe version, I would play it. I haven't looked for it, though.
Can't
I
might be in it.
Anyway. Yeah. But, so we were laughing. It was funny. So that song starts with a laugh.
It does.
It ends with a laugh.
It does.
We came out of the song with us laughing on the air. Because
about something else.
Well, about something else, but about that story and Morgan saying, oh, definitely, I would definitely have called my grandma. I wouldn't have called 911.
Yeah, I'm not calling the police.
I definitely would have called my grandma if my mom or dad ate my ice cream.
Well, okay, no, to be clear.
Okay.
I only ever called my grandma on my dad.
Never on your mom.
Well, that wasn't her mom.
Gotcha. Okay, it makes
sense. In my mind, it was who can my dad get in trouble with? It's his mom. It's not his wife. My mom is not, that's not trouble to my dad.
Right. Right.
But his mom, she that's gets whoopings. So yeah. In my child mind, it was like, that is the police. That's grandma. The police.
Grandma.
Grandma, you gotta come get your son. I've said that to that woman I don't know how many times. Grandma, come help.
As a toddler.
As a toddler, though. And I mean right. an actual toddler. Grandma, I need you to talk to dad. As a parent now, I absolutely cannot imagine my parent calling me and being like chastising me for the thing that I did or didn't do or right. the McDonald's I didn't buy them or whatever it was that I was probably like, gosh. Grandma.
So aggrieved. He's done it again, Grandma.
He's done it again. You want to come talk to this man? Huh?
You going to do something?
You going to do something about this guy? The fact that she even indulged me in any of that, what an incredible woman. Like, she absolutely would be like, you put him on the phone.
He's like, yeah, bro.
And probably just sat there laughing like, Nick, why is this girl calling me? But I'm like, you see?
Yeah.
Sit down.
Get you in trouble.
With you're your in mom. Trouble now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Huh?
Maybe next time.
Bet you're going to take me out there now. Bet you're going to take me to my grandma's now, huh?
Put your little hand on your hip. Yeah. I bet you were.
Got my bag packed.
Oh, my God.
But I'm not staying the night.
Because Morgan would refuse to do sleepovers.
What an annoying child. Oh, my God. I say that, but also not that annoying. I was also communicative. I do not want to spend the night anywhere else. I like to sleep in my bed.
Yeah.
So as, like, I have some amazing friends that I have had since first grade. And this is the moment where I will always say this directly to Angela's face, forever and always. She is manipulative, and she would ask my mom if I could stay the night instead of asking me.
If you wanted to.
Because she knew my answer was no.
Right.
But she wanted me to stay the night, and she knew my mom wanted me to stay the night. Because sure, get Morgan out of the house. So she would ask my mom. My mom would say yes. Mm. And I would say no. Why'd you do that?
Why'd you circumvent my authority?
Why would you do that? I even had conversations with my mom. Now, if anybody asks you if I can stay the night, your answer is no. Your answer is, I got to check with Morgan. Let's see if she wants to do that. Mm. Was that Sherry's way of handling it?
Doesn't sound like it.
Mostly not. Mostly, it was like, and this is just true. I'm so curious if any other people's parents were like this. My mom always believed my friends over me.
Oh, man.
So if she would be like, if Angela said to her, Morgan said she wants to stay the night, my mom would be like, oh, of course she did. Why? What evidence have you ever had of Morgan wants to stay the night? Is it when she's calling Nick to come get her at 9 o'clock? It's dark, Dad. I'm ready.
Come get me.
Come get me.
I'm packed.
Hey, they starting to lay down.
They about to go to bed.
They about to go to bed. Is someone coming over to get me? I gotta go home. Hello, Dad?
Maybe I should call Grandma.
I should probably call my grandma.
Grandma? Dad will come get me.
Michelle said, honestly, more grandmas would be a great alternative justice system.
Yes.
1,000%.
Absolutely.
For sure.
She said, kids, you must first abolish the cop inside your head.
Yes! And I was one of those kids. I didn't know. I just knew this man needs to be in trouble right now. But it was usually because I wasn't getting my way.
Somebody need to check Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can't be me because he doesn't listen to me. So I need an authoritative figure. Let me get his mom on his phone.
I'm going to tell your mama.
Get mom on the phone. I'm going to tell your mama. But yeah, I definitely was that kid. I did not want to do a sleepover. I definitely made my dad come get me from many places.
I mean, I'm hearing you, right? And I 100% believe you. I promise you guys we're going to get back to this. For me, I can't it's hard for me to fathom. There wasn't a single time to you where it sounded exciting to have all of your homies in one place and we're sleeping over. Like,
toddler, no, they could do that at my
middle
house.
School sleepovers work at your place.
You can come over here
and do a sleepover.
I don't really want it, but like, yeah, you can.
But no sleepovers anywhere else.
I just didn't. I don't even know that. Like, so it was. You would say I'm homesick, mm-hmm. but I wasn't like. I don't know that that's really it.
Right.
I don't know if that's really the best way to describe it. I did not want to spend the night other places. I don't have like a trauma that I know that's right. like, and this is the reason why. Right. I just didn't want to. And then it was, especially in that time, such a big deal. Like, that was people's birthday parties. Right. No, I don't want to do, I don't want to stay the night at your house. My pajamas go at my house with my bed. I know my routine over there. You know, I know what I got to navigate. Right. Maybe it was that. I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea.
Right.
I think a lot of it had to do with, especially when it comes to full sleepovers where it's like 10 of your friends.
Yeah.
Nobody should ever do that. That is completely overwhelming. And I know for me as a person, I was overwhelmed by how much was happening at times of the day that doesn't normally happen.
Okay. Oh, like that makes sense.
It's like, oh, it's bedtime and you guys are jumping on a bed?
Can we lay it on down, guys?
Where are we? I'm always the one that falls asleep first. Like, you know, like.
And you don't want anything weird to happen to you. While you
and
fall
the weird
no
stuff
pranking.
Happens to you when you fall asleep
your hair,
first.
Drawing on your face. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not with none of those things.
Okay.
I'm not with none of them. I'm not with perpetrating that. I'm not with being, you know, I don't want any of that.
This sounds.
Oh, you fell asleep. Why did? Reasonable. Why is there now a penis on your face? Right. Well, because somebody's horny.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think that you should spend your time doing that.
Yeah.
10-year-old, like now I gotta explain this to my mom. No thanks.
No, this makes sense. This all makes sense.
Oh, Rudo, shut up. That has to be Rudo.
It is.
Rudo said, yeah, annoying child. Yeah. I am not much different than I was then. So all the evolution, I think, has happened.
Like it or love it.
Like it or love it.
Oh, my gosh.
Here she is.
You do stay in other cities, though. Like, you've traveled. You stayed in other places. It's, you
know, oh, yeah.
You made other places your home and then also have stayed out in other places. So, I mean, you've grown out of that.
1,000%.
Yeah. I don't want to think it's still the case. It's like, ambush, come get me.
I mean, I would, though, if I was like, if I went somewhere and then I no longer wanted to be at that place, I would be like, ambush, can you come get me?
Can you come pick me up? This hotel is trash.
I didn't think this through.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Or things change, you know? Yeah. And all of a sudden, maybe that trip ain't as exciting as it sounded or whatever. I don't know.
Man, that was great. That was great.
Next time, I'll just steal money like Brett Favre.
Speaking of which, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has officially demanded that Mississippi pay back nearly $101 million in welfare funds it misused during former Governor Phil Bryant's administration, marking a significant escalation in the scandal that rocked the state. This penalty comes after a federal investigation revealed that Mississippi officials used welfare money meant to aid the state's poorest citizens on luxury projects, including a volleyball stadium, $1 million speaking contracts. Excuse me. Among the high-profile figures involved is none other than former NFL quarterback Brett Favre, who received $1.1 million in welfare funds for a public speaking engagement that he never actually delivered.
Tight.
Favre's involvement is just one piece of a larger pattern of misuse of temporary assistance for needy families, TANF funds, which were diverted away from struggling families and used to line the pockets of athletes, influencers, and powerful insiders. The $1.1 million given to Favre was part of a broader strategy by Mississippi Community Education Center, officials to use these funds for non-essential personal projects. Mm. In addition to Favre, other notable figures involved in the scandal include Ted and Brett DiBiase, two professional wrestlers turned contractors, and nonprofit founder Nancy New, who were all charged with various crimes. The audible gasp of DiBiase.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The HHS penalty notice is the first formal step by the federal government to hold the state accountable. For years, Mississippi officials have been dodging responsibility with various state-level audits, missing the misappropriation of millions in taxpayer funds. It wasn't until the state auditor's office uncovered the scandal in 2020 that the extent of the misuse was revealed. Favre, in particular, drew attention for his role, as he was paid welfare funds to give talks that were never delivered, raising questions about how such a large sum could be diverted without anyone noticing. For now, the state of Mississippi is disputing the penalty amount, claiming that the federal government's findings are based on incomplete information. However, the state has already faced significant public backlash for its role in the scandal. As the HHS moves forward with the penalty, it will likely lead to a protracted legal battle over how the funds were spent and who will ultimately be held accountable.
Hmm.
While criminal cases continue to unfold, including the upcoming trial of Brett DiBiase, Mississippi faces a long road to making right the wrongs done to its poorer citizens. The scandal shines a light on the systemic misuse of public welfare funds, which were instead funneled into the pockets of the rich and famous, including Favre, who was yet to face any direct criminal consequences. Mm. This is a growing issue that highlights the intersection of privilege, politics, and public welfare. As more people in Mississippi await justice, it's clear that the state's failure to protect its most vulnerable citizens has led to widespread mistrust in how these funds are managed, and how far the rich and powerful will go to exploit them for personal gain. I remember first hearing about this once Favre's name popped up. And it was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
$1.1 million for a speech? Holy smokes. That was the first thing. Then it was like, what? There's text messages showing that he was trying to make sure that that never got out.
Yep.
Holy smokes. And then it was, wait, he never delivered the speech? Why does he get paid for something that didn't happen? Wowzers.
Not only why does he get paid for a thing that didn't happen, but when you have the Republican Party spending decades talking about waste, fraud, and abuse, and how that is, you know, at the point of the beneficiary who is doing the waste, doing the fraud. The person, the poor person who needs the Medicaid, the poor person who needs TANF, you don't have to be poor, you just need assistance.
Yeah.
It's them who's doing it and not the people at the top making the decisions saying, actually, what would be really cool is if we had like a volleyball stadium. What would be really cool is having Brett Favre speak. Oh, we have the money in TANF. We can just get the money
pull it from there.
We can just pull it from there.
If you guys are cool with that, we can just grab it from there. It's not doing anything.
Misappropriating funds effectively takes them away from the people that needs them, that need them. And then those same people will tell you how terrible the people are that need that assistance. Because the head of human services who is making this decision in Mississippi does not think that the humans deserve the services. You are not looking at the people that you serve in a way that is humane.
I'm sorry. Was it my reaction that froze you there?
Yeah.
Okay. So Malcolm says, good morning, DJ Morgan, DJ Ambush.
Good morning, Malcolm.
I can relate to the sleepover version.
Yes!
In my childhood, I always dreaded invitations for sleepovers. Sometimes I was asked in front of my parents, who would unwittingly volunteer me to attend.
Malcolm, this is exactly what was happening to me. Number one, thank you so much for sharing your experience. That was what made me go to my mom and say,
hey,
when they ask, you gotta stop saying yes.
Sherry, come on.
What are we doing here?
Let's get on the same page.
Like, because the eyes, the
right,
the body language never worked. It was like, you see me, right? You see me, mom. There's no way that you think that I normally am doing that.
The way I'm tapping your leg right now.
The way I'm saying, no, 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 no. Malcolm, I'm so sorry.
Malcolm, it felt like betrayal, yeah.
It certainly felt like betrayal to me once I told that woman, please stop doing it, and then she kept doing it.
Okay, so do you see what song I have to close the show out? I'm trying to see if there's a way to.
Okay. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the other reason I made this face is because we got a text from Phil says, Phil thinks you guys are the greatest, best show on the sphere still. And Ambush, I would enjoy any Lupe you can play. That's my fave.
Beeman may be clean enough for radio. Much love to you too. Sorry, I got too excited. No. I jumped in. I'm Beaming is one of my favorite songs.
Phil, I already had I'm Beaming.
It's literally up.
Queued up. Like, that was weird. That was like, so Malcolm saying what he said was hilarious. Then when I read Phil's text, I'm like, wait, what? Phil's got cameras in the studio.
Oh.
Phil, you know why you're going to hear I'm Beaming? Because it is an amazing song. There is a clean version. And we all love I'm Beaming, don't we?
I certainly do. It's one of my favorites.
It's just amazing.
One of my favorites. Yeah. Lupe is forever and always going to be up there for me.
Yep, same. For we. Yeah.
Yes. Even when my man does wild stuff, I'd be like, you know what? That's Lupe. And he never does anything wild enough that it's like.
That you got to disassociate completely. Yeah.
Not at all. He's an incredibly smart and compassionate person.
Yeah, he is.
Sometimes he is. Too smart for his own good.
Man. Yeah.
But this just made, I mean, that's a heck of a universe telling you something right there you to have that cued and for Phil to be like, let's effing go.
Let's go. Let's go.
Again, Malcolm, thank you for sharing because I know I'm not alone in the, I was adverse to that, but I don't, folks don't talk about it much.
Brooks needs our Brooks.
Yes!
Witches.
Brooke, I've been waiting for you, baby. You said, thank you.
Said, Phil's a witch. Phil, no, seriously. He's like, shut up. No, seriously. I had this thing queued up.
No, like, it's seriously. Crazy. Yeah. So I stopped talking because Ambush looked like he had seen a ghost. And I was like, what is happening?
And I saw a witch.
And what he saw was a witch. Wait. Man. Is the witch in the room with us?
No.
Is it me?
No.
It's me.
Brooke has identified Phil. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM and in the Halem, Wheeler, and Rock. And in Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm.
There we go. Nailed it.
Brooke Witch.
Absolutely incredible.
Oh my God.
I hope that stays the last text. Phil's a witch. Phil's a witch.
Oh my gosh.
It's been wonderful.
It has,
Fiancés,
guys.
Today was great. I hope it was great for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was another episode of News My Fiancé, brought to you by Morgan Jones and myself, DJ Ambush. And our illustrious podcast editor, Kyle G of Residual Audio.
Ba, 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 ba.
The playlist is updated. It's ready. It's ready. Kyle is going to make sure we get all these texts in the episode description.
So yeah,
thank you. Thank you, everyone that, chimed in with us.
Stop! Oh, is that P-Town?
Yep.
P-Town said, fantastic rising witches. Acceptable last text. That's perfect. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Man. But don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening. And we will catch you Monday night, 6:30 p.m. on YouTube.
Also, Phil said, I identify as a wizard. Thanks.
You know, I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that, though.
Also, an acceptable last text. Bye.